Father, as always, I thank you for the entrance of your word brings light. Shine that light in our hearts today. Give us revelation knowledge. Give us understanding. May we comprehend that which the Holy Spirit is saying to us. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is speaking to the church. We give you praise and glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Today, the wisdom pillar of counsel. The wisdom pillar of counsel. So, as always, I'm going to have a lot of scriptures to give. I'm going to give some definitions, give some examples, you know, give some benefits. And we're going to pray around this counsel. And, you know, so let's go. Well, strap on your seatbelts because the Lord is going to bless us together today. Well, counsel right off the bat is a pillar of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 14. We see that wisdom is speaking directly in Proverbs 8. And it talks about counsel being with wisdom, you know. Now, our theme verse was Proverbs chapter 9, you know, verse 1. Wisdom hath built her house and she has hewn out her seven pillars. You know, but we are going to many parts of the book of Proverbs and other places to pick out lessons about these pillars. A good one is Proverbs chapter 8. In Proverbs chapter 8, verses 12 to 14, we see many of these pillars referenced in that text. I, wisdom, he says, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. We covered that already. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. We covered the fear of the Lord already. Now, verse 14. Counsel is mine. Hallelujah. And sound wisdom. Well, I call that sound judgment. I am understanding and I have strength. Well, you get strength when you put all these pillars together. It strengthens, they will strengthen the house that the wisdom is building and help to fix the cracks. We've talked about since the beginning of this series, cracks that may be in the structure because either the pillars are not sitting just right or, you know, weakened. You know, so if we learn the lessons that the Holy Spirit teaching us through this series, we may be able to fix those cracks and prevent future cracks. So counsel today is the one we are dealing with. So we see that it is a pillar of wisdom. We also see in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20, you see the relationship, you see how it calls out, you know, some of the things that we are going to be dealing with in counsel today. He said, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. You know, this is one of the reasons why I say that counsel is at the very core of these pillars of wisdom. Well, if you hear counsel, he says, you will be wise even at your latter end. In other words, no matter how you start out in the beginning, when you begin to apply counsel, you know, you become wise. You see, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. I'm going to be talking of the counsel of the Lord in deep in our heart. We're going to be talking about that today. Now, you know, so here's another one in Proverbs chapter 20. I'm just leading some foundations for counsel out of the book of Proverbs. Powerful scriptures, you know, out of this book of Proverbs. Every purpose, Proverbs 20 and 18, is established by counsel. And with good advice, make war. What does that mean? Every purpose is established by counsel. Well, it means that you may propose a lot of things, you know, but if you don't have counsel, they won't be established. Every year, at the beginning of the year, people, you know, make what we call New Year resolutions or what have you, or they hear a word, something that the Lord is saying for the year. I myself, I always seek the Lord a lot towards the end of the year and into the start of the new year to have a word, you know, for the people, because I know the people are expecting it, you know. And last year into this year, I was seeking the Lord and he gave the word emerge. And, you know, I've been trying to use it to encourage people throughout this year, you know, but, you know, we can make plans around that. We can do all of that and so forth. But without counsel, none of those things will come to pass. So counsel is so important. Every purpose is established by counsel, you know. So the, you know, that is so important. If you don't have counsel, you know, we are going to miss out on even the things that we thought we are planning on without counsel, you know. And it says, with good advice, make war. Well, that means pick your counsel will give you advice to pick your fights. You know, it's not everything you need to spend your spiritual capital on fighting. You know, pick your fights. We've covered that, you know, in other lessons where we talk about, you know, having strategy and not beating the air and so on. All right. So you can see how powerful counsel is. And we haven't even gotten very far in this lesson. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 6. Again, you know, this book of Proverbs, so powerful for so many things we can learn. By wise counsel, this is the same thing at the end of that Proverbs 18, verse 20. You know, at the end of that, we talked about, you know, with advice, you make your war. Again, here it says, by wise counsel, thou shalt make thy war. And in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Safety, you know. So Proverbs 20 and verse 18 talks about, you know, making, you know, using your counsel to pick your fights. Proverbs 24 verse 6 talks about the same thing, you know. And now this one gives an additional insight. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Counsel is so important. Now here are some definitions. The ability to give good advice, guidance, instruction, or direction to navigate difficult situations or how to prepare for the future. So counsel can be, you know, described as the ability to give good advice, to give guidance, to give instruction or direction on how to navigate difficult situations and how to prepare for their future. That's counsel. Well, here's another definition for counsel. Like I said, some of these definitions, I pick some out from the dictionary. I pick some out from here and there. I add some things that the Holy Spirit gives me. Put them all together and out comes this lesson. Now, counsel is the ability to prescribe inspired solutions for difficult situations. And that's my own definition of counsel. That's the part that I like. You know, the ability to prescribe inspired solutions for difficult situations. Here's another definition for counsel. It is advice, can be also opinion or instruction that's given in directing the judgment, the conduct, or action of another. You know, this is the way that people actually think of counsel. How you give advice to somebody to help them in, you know, shaping their judgment, how they shape their conduct, how, you know, they direct their actions. And you give advice to someone else. People call it counsel. You know, in fact, you know, legal advice sometimes is called counsel. In fact, lawyers are sometimes referred to as counsel. You know, so the, You know, you may say, speak with your counsel. You know, that's speak with your lawyer if you are in a case and so forth. You know, so that's the kind of people always think about giving advice to somebody else. But today I'm going to focus not just on that, but counsel for yourself, within yourself. that's the one that we're really going to be speaking about. Now, when a person speaks with wisdom concerning a matter or situation, it can be called counsel. You know, something is at hand that people are debating and somebody comes out and he speaks with wisdom concerning that matter. And it's called counsel. You see that counsel is at the heart of this, you know, very wisdom thing. You know, it provides direction, provides advice as to a decision or a course of action that needs to be taken. And you have that ability to give that kind of advice. It's called counsel, you know, and, you might also think of it as when somebody consults someone for advice, like a consultation. Well, that the advice that comes out of, you know, that as a result of a consultation is also known as counsel. So you can see all these definitions of counsel. Now, in the secular world, counselors can sometimes be referred to as consultants. Sometimes even people call them coaches and things like that. You know, some people say they're a life coach, they're this and that, because they give counsel on family matters. You know, so they can also call them, even in business world, they call consultants. You know, they give counsel. You know, so we will talk about that. Now, the ability or the capacity to exhibit good counsel does not always come from age or your position in life. Well, age can give us some experience, but not every aged person can give wise counsel. You know, that's a blessing in itself to be able to give wise counsel. In the book of Job, chapter 32, you know, we see the situation between Job and his friends. Some, you know, three of his friends are with him. Two of them are a little bit older, and Job himself is older than this Elihu guy. And so he is, you know, he is going to wait till the rest of them are spoken because they were older than he. So listen to this in Job chapter 32, verse 4. Now, Elihu had waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. I mean, all the others spoke, so he waited for them to speak. I mean, he was a bit courteous, you know, so waited for the older people to speak. But after they spoke, he really didn't find, you know, that their answer gave much of a good direction. So here's what Elihu said. He saw when there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, you know, then his wrath was kindled. You see that they didn't speak something well, or they had no answer, you know, that was appropriate, or spoke nothing at all. Then Elihu said, you know, I am young, but ye are old, very old. Wherefore I was afraid and did not dare to show my opinion. I said, days should speak, a multitude of years should teach wisdom. So he thought, well, let the older people speak. Let me be quiet. You know, let them, because they are older in age, let them, you know, give, you know, their opinion and I'll be quiet. But when they couldn't give anything, then he said, look, it isn't days that will always speak. It isn't multitude of years that will always teach wisdom, but there is a spirit in man. And you've heard me quote this many times. And the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding, whether they are young or old. It's the inspiration of the Almighty in them. It's not by their age necessarily. Great men are not always wise. Neither do the aged always understand judgment. So he said, now, you hearken to me, even though I am the least in age of all of you, and I will now show you my opinion. Well, I waited for your words, and I tried to give ear to your reasons, you know, but now I am going to speak. Hallelujah. So now you can see that counsel and, you know, that kind of deep wisdom does not always come by age. Now, counsel is at the very core of all these pillars of wisdom that we're talking about. A person that has the spirit of counsel, you might consider that, you might actually say that it will exhibit all these other pillars. Now, wisdom itself was speaking and said, counsel is mine. You know, we read that from Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 14. But let me talk about counsel in the heart of man. Because sometimes, most of the time, we think of counsel as something we give to somebody else. You know, let's look at Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 5. And we're going to begin to get into the deep part of this lesson now. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Now, counsel is buried in the heart, you know, but if you have understanding, you will draw it out. Now, this is not counsel necessarily for somebody else. This is counsel for guiding your own affairs with discretion. This is counsel. It's inside your heart. You know, if you're a man or woman or person of great counsel, you know, it comes from understanding. It's deep inside of you, but you draw it out and you make right decisions. You will judge yourself. You will look before you leap, and all the things we've talked about previously, even the fear of the Lord and so forth. You know, it's counsel. Counsel in your heart will lead you in these things. Now, so take note of Proverbs 20 verse 5, because we're going to come to that in just a minute. We're going to speak more about that. People generally think that counsel, you know, is only for the benefit of others. You know, you counsel somebody and so forth. You give them advice. You know, but we forget that we can give ourselves advice. You can counsel yourself. You can speak to yourself. David spoke to himself all the time. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Spoke to his soul all the time. Spoke to himself. You know, hallelujah. And people, you know, people can give themselves good counsel or evil counsel. It might be in their heart. You know, when people, you know, think evil things, it's an evil counsel in their heart. When people think good things, it's a good counsel in their heart. You know, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The counsel is deep there. You know, what is coming out of there depends on whether, I mean, good or evil counsel that's in the heart. You know, so to draw it out by understanding, what does that mean? Well, it's like Isaiah 12 verse 3 says, you know, with joy shall we draw waters out of the wells of salvation. It's the same thing. With understanding shall you draw counsel from the deep wells that are in the heart. A deep well of counsel is in your heart. You know, and only by understanding will you draw it out. Now, if your heart is not pure, remember the heart is, you know, deceitful. Wicked, you know, scripture says, you know, an unredeemed heart is wicked and deceitful at best, you know, but a heart, you know, that is after the Lord will have deep counsel inside that heart, and that can bring it out by the inspiration of the Almighty. Now, let me stop here and say something about the heart. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, so I often tell young people, when they say follow your heart, I say no, don't follow your heart. Follow the Lord and his word, because your heart can be deceitful, can even be desperately wicked, according to Jeremiah 17 and 9. You know, there's a Nike commercial, you know, back in the day, especially in the, early 20s, you used to say, just do it. You know, and people latched on to that and say, just follow your heart. And I say, no, don't follow your heart. Your heart may deceive you, because the heart could be wicked. The heart may be, you know, desperately wicked sometimes. Follow the word of God, you know, rather than just do it. Why not just say no? You know, because people say just do it and they get into sin, they get into fornication, they get into evil. You know, they say I'm following my heart. You know, they will not follow wise counsel. Now, that's a digression, but I wanted to bring that in. Don't follow your heart. Follow the word of God. You know, now, but inside our heart, if that heart is a heart that where the Lord has is enthroned, then the Spirit of God will give you understanding to pull out you know, counsel out of those deep wells that are there. But if that heart is unredeemed, then, you know, all it can pull out of there is rubbish. Jesus said, well, out of the heart comes fornications, adulteries, murders, and all these things. You know, but if it is a heart that is governed by the Holy Spirit, out of it can come counsel, counsel and understanding. You know, so that's what we want to focus on today. Now, here is a way that the Lord even can put instruction in your heart, even when you don't know that He's doing it. And it's for you to search it out. You can even put it in your subconscious. It's there. The book of Job, chapter 33, you know, verses 15 and 18 will tell you that, you know, even in a dream, even while you are sleeping, the vision of the night, in a dream and so forth, your subconscious, the Lord can put and seal instructions in your heart. You know, I have tapped into this scripture many times, you know, to just say, Lord, you know, I thank you, you know, for, you know, the things that the Lord have put inside my heart. You know, so while, even while you are sleeping, Job 33 will tell you that. In the book of Job 33, let's read this, this lesson that we see here beginning at verse 15. Beginning at verse 15, he said, in a dream. This is Job 33 and verse 15. In a dream. In the vision of the night, even while deep sleep falleth upon man, in the slumberings upon your bed. Then he said, the Lord, he opened the ears of men, even when you know it or not, and sealeth their instruction. Now, sometimes you get up in the morning and it seems like it's a light bulb that just went on. What do you think happened? The Lord, he put instruction in your heart, even while you were sleeping. And then you need to give credit to the Lord for that bright idea that suddenly came into you in the morning. It didn't just happen. The Lord put it there, even while you were sleeping. You know, that's where God put this there. And he gave instruction to depart from evil, especially, you know, that you may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. You know, no, it's not your thinking. It's not your doing. Came from the Lord. You know, he gave you instruction in your heart to keep your soul from the pit, to keep your life from perishing, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, there's some things, you know, he may even put instruction in your heart. You won't know that he did, but he did. You know, there may be something you were planning to do and the Lord may have put it in your heart and you don't do it or don't go there. He may save you from evil. It's all counsel in your heart. Instructions, you know, we started when we were talking about this, the Holy Spirit, and we say, you know, people should stop saying something told me. That thing that you say something told me, that's counsel in your heart. Holy Spirit gives you that gut check, it's counsel. When the Spirit says, don't go there, go here. Don't do that, don't do this. That's counsel. It's coming from deep inside your heart. It's the Holy Spirit, you know, that's communing with your spirit like that. And it's called counsel. Now, this counsel skill, you know, can be very invaluable in your personal life. It can be invaluable in family. It can be invaluable in business, can be invaluable in the marketplace, even in government, etc. If you possess a person that possesses this skill, if they know how to use it, this counsel, and they use it well in offering guidance and direction, you know, especially let's say you're in business and stuff like that. It's called, in business, it's called forward-looking strategic solutions, you know, strategy. People who get promoted, you know, in business to really high levels, it's because they are strategic. You know, it's not just solutions for the moment, but forward-looking strategy. That's how companies, that's what they're looking for. When they bring in a new CEO or a new CIO or some, you know, some great, you know, leader like that, you know, they look them out because of their forward-looking strategies. They will look to, you know, most of those kind of people, they don't even apply for jobs. They don't at that level. people seek them out. Because if they've seen their record, what they've done, how they've transformed other companies through their visionary strategies and stuff like that. And then people search them out, you know, they search them out. And, you know, it's all counsel because they know how to give good advice. They lay out strategic, you know, forward thinking solutions, even in technology. The people who are developing at great advancement in technology, it's deep counsel and insight and foresight. We'll come to that also when we do, when we cover understanding. Now, this skill, if you know how to use it, you can become invaluable. You know, when you might, they might let many others go, but they'll keep you. I've been in industry and I've seen where they're letting some high leadership positions, they're letting people go, and they're bringing in others that they believe have better forward-thinking strategy, and they can give them counsel on how to move the company from one place to another. The company that I work for today, you know, just 4 years ago or so, they were nowhere on the map. They brought in some, you know, strategic leaders. Today, they're like number 26 or so in the Fortune 500. You know, and they just keep moving forward, you know, because they're bringing in people who have strategic leadership skills, and it's counsel. They come in, they look, take a look, and they say, no, this is how we're going to do things. You know, that's counsel, the ability to give that kind of counsel. There was a man that gave great counsel to Moses, you know, in the Bible, Jethro, his father-in-law. We talked about it. Here are some examples that I'm giving now. We talked about it before in Exodus chapter 18. You can read from verses 13 to about 26. You know, Jethro looked at Moses, all the things that Moses was doing, and said, look, the way you are doing this, you're going to wear yourself out, because there's always a long line and you are the only one servicing the line. You will wear yourself out and you will wear the people out as well, because they're standing in very long line the whole day long, because you're only the one person answering each person. I mean, all of them. He said, this is how you will do. Let me give you counsel. And I know you are a man of God. If it seems good to you, if the Lord tells you so, here is my counsel. Do it this way. Divide up. Great other people, you know, captains of hundreds, this and that, and so on and so forth. Set them among the people. Let them take care of business. And then the things they cannot solve, and even concerning the things of the Lord, they can come to you. But don't be the one to can do every little thing. Learn how to delegate. And my goodness, well, the meekness of Moses showed through that situation. Moses could have said, look, I'm a prophet. I hear from the Lord. You know, I've heard people say, the Lord, you know, somebody, I've heard people say, the headstone speaks to me. The Lord speaks to me. I've heard this and that. And they will not follow simple counsel. They just claim to be this and that. And they make, you know, wild actions. Sometimes it blows up in their face, you know, because counsel is nothing, has nothing to do with whether you are a prophet, whether you are a seer, whether you are any of these things, you know. You can have all those gifts, but you may not have counsel. We can see it here in the case of Moses. Moses had done tremendous things, creative miracles that he did, calling, you know, frogs and lice and, you know, things out of nowhere, you know, brought, you know, hailstones. He did all kinds of things, you know, miracle after miracle, almost 11 incredible things, signs and wonders he did in Egypt, you know, capped by the parting of the Red Sea. I mean, he's done all those things. God has, you know, he has seen the pillar of fire, the burning bush. I mean, he has heard God speak to face and everything, but yet he didn't have counsel. He, you know, he needed counsel from somebody else, you know, that he wasn't a prophet. You know, that man was actually a priest among, you know, the, you know, unbelieving religions that they had in those days. You know, but he recognized that Moses was a man of God, but he also recognized that he was doing things without counsel. and he helped him. And Moses listened. Now, there was a man, you know, in the Bible that was called Ahithophel. In 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 23, we were told that this Ahithophel, when he gave counsel concerning a matter, it was as if the angel of the Lord spoke. I mean, his counsel in those days was like the angel of the Lord. I mean, he was right on the money. You know, I mean, if he gave advice, if your life depended on it, you could trust this man's counsel. It was like an angel of God when he spoke and gave counsel, you know. And when he, you know, when he was on the opposite side of David, David knew that they would be, David knew he was finished. If this man would give counsel against him, David knew he was finished, because this man's counsel was under money. It was like an angel of God. So David prayed that the Lord should overturn this man's counsel. Well, you know the story, but that's not my story today. But the point I wanted to bring was this man had counsel in his heart. He gave counsel concerning a matter, was right on the money. Now let's talk about Joseph. You know, I love the story of Joseph. I've talked about it all the time when we talk about would-be destroyers and how God will eventually, you know, the providence of God will guide and protect your destiny. You know, and you know the gifting that Joseph had to interpret dreams. And you know all the evil that his brothers tried to do to him. You know the things that befell him. You know how, you know, his gift of interpretation of dreams eventually brought him before Pharaoh. You know, but it wasn't his gift of interpretation that made him great. If he had interpreted the dream, let's read. You can read. Well, it's a long chapter. I'm not going to read it all. Just paraphrase the story. In Genesis chapter 41, from verses 16 to about 45. It's a long story. But you know the story. It wasn't the interpretation. He could have given the interpretation without following up with what to do. What to do part was what gave him the tremendous promotion. You know, I mean, Pharaoh was ready to get rid of all the wise men, you know, and all the, you know, all those his counselors, because none of them, you know, had a solution. But this young man, he came out of nowhere, out of prison, actually, and gave incredible counsel, you know, what to do in the lesson of the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. You know this story, you know. And Pharaoh eventually said, look, you know, he said, look, now therefore, you know, let Pharaoh seek out a man that is discreet and wise. This is verse 33. And set him over the land. Let Pharaoh do this and appoint officers in the land. Let him take up the fifth, 20%, he said, 20% savings. You know, I talked about this the other day. 20% savings in the time of increase. Put that away for the rainy day, you know. And let them gather all the food in all these good years that come. Let them lay them under the hand of corn, under the hand of Pharaoh. Keep this food in the cities, you know, make even storehouses to keep the food. And the food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine that will come, and so on and so forth. Now, this was not, you know, this part of it was no longer interpretation. This part of it was counsel. He has already interpreted the dream. He said, well, you know, you saw those dreams, the dream twice in the same thing. God is showing you what's going to come. Those fat cattle and the lean cattle, the same thing as the fat ears of corn and the lean ears of corn. The same thing. You know, 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. That's the interpretation. That's the end of it. If he had stopped there, that would not have helped anybody. And it wouldn't have helped him either. But it was the ability to draw out deep counsel and give solution to this difficult crisis that was coming over the world. It was that ability to give that counsel that got him promotion. So, and then he said, and when Pharaoh listened to it, he said, look, do all these things so that the land of Egypt will not perish through the famine that's coming. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And then, you know, now, Joseph wasn't saying that Pharaoh should appoint him. Joseph was just saying that, because he knew he was a prisoner, and he was going back to prison. He knew that in his heart, or he thought, you know. And so he was just telling Pharaoh what to do. You know, just do this so that everybody doesn't perish. And Pharaoh turned around and said, where in the world are we going to find such a man? You know, in whom the Spirit of God is. Now, this Pharaoh was not a believer. But now he recognized that this deep counsel that's coming from the heart of such a person has to be from the Spirit of God. You know, because this man told him that, well, God's the one that showed you this dream because it's going to come to pass. And so Pharaoh said, well, for as much as God has showed you all this, there is none so discreet as white as thou. You know, telling us to look for somebody discreet and wise, well, we can't. There's nobody else. It's going to be you. Thou shalt be over my house. Listen to the promotion that came to Joseph because of the Spirit of counsel. Not exactly the interpretation, but the Spirit of counsel. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have said this today over all the land of Egypt. And to make, you know, assurance doubly sure, he took out his ring. Now, this is the ring of the king. He takes it out from his ring and put it upon Joseph's hand. He arrayed him with vestures of fine linen, put a gold chain around his neck, you know, and made him to ride in his checkered chariot and say, everybody bow the knee to Joseph. He made him ruler over all the land of Egypt, including Potiphar and Potiphar's wife that framed him. They had to bow the knee to Joseph. Hallelujah. I love that part of it. I always love to say that part. You know, and Pharaoh said, I am Pharaoh and you are Joseph. And without you shall no man lift a hand in all of Egypt. And all of this was because of counsel. Counsel is actually what finally catapulted Joseph to the fulfillment of his destiny. Ladies and gentlemen, it was counsel. There are many things that led to it, but counsel was the thing that put him over, just to say, you know, finally. It was this ability to give this incredible counsel. God had to line things up to make that happen. But it was his ability to give this incredible counsel that finally made him ruler over the world, basically. Hallelujah. Now, so you can see how powerful that counsel can be. Now, counselors and advisors are usually behind great leaders. And many successful people, they have great counselors in their, you know, in their corner. You know, a spiritual leader also needs great counselors. You know, they can have people and counsel them and give them counsel, you know, to guide them. You can even start from the home. The wife can be a great counselor, or it can be a great destroyer. You know, the wife can be like Jezebel that spurred her husband Ahab on. Ahab was already wicked, but Jezebel made him twice the child of hell. You know, or it can be a good woman that will give advice, you know, so on and so forth. You know, even when Jesus was standing before, you know, Pilate, his wife tried to give him advice. Look, I dreamt a dream today. No, don't mess with this man. Leave him alone. And so on. You know, so, you know, look, counselors and advisors, they are well sought out and they are indispensable. When he had lain and firing others off, when Pharaoh had no more use for any of his counselors, because they couldn't do anything for him, he found Joseph. Same thing in the land of Nebuchadnezzar. You know, when Nebuchadnezzar wanted to destroy everybody else, because they couldn't help him, they found Daniel, you know, and so forth. And Daniel even gave advice, not only interpreted dreams, gave advice, you know, break off your sins by righteousness. It might be a lengthening of your tranquility. Although the man did not listen, you know, and so on and so forth, you know. So this ability for great problem solving skills, solution to prescribe this solution to difficult situations. In fact, you know, catastrophic situations in the case of Joseph and Pharaoh is called counsel. the fame for interpreting hard sentences, dissolving doubts, was in the life of Daniel. You can see that in Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 to 24. Also Daniel chapter 4, verse 27. And Daniel chapter 5, verses 11 to 12. I mean, his fame went before him because he could interpret hard sentences. He could dissolve doubts. He could give prescribed answers and different things. Now, Solomon was sought out from all over the world because of his wisdom, which was actually counsel. You know, the Queen of Sheba and many people, they came, you know, and Jesus even referred to it. He said, look, you know, you can see the wisdom of counsel of Solomon. The Queen of Sheba came from halfway around the world to hear the counsel of Solomon. And he said, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And so that event will judge this generation. Because she went halfway across the world to come and hear the wisdom of Solomon. The counsel that Solomon gave, you know, in any matters. When they brought matters before him, he had counsel to dissolve the difficult situations, you know, and so forth. You know, 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 29 to 34. I'm not going to read it. I'm just giving the reference. Also, 1 Kings chapter 10. Verses 23 to 25. You know, the counsel, the wisdom of Solomon, how he was sought out, you know, from around the world because of the great counsel that he had, the ability to solve. You know, the Bible says that Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 10 verse 23. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which is really counsel. But they will come to him for advice. That's counsel, you know, which God had put in his heart, you know, and they brought, and this thing made him rich. I mean, he was so rich because these people back in the day, you know, they believed that if you can help them solve some problem, they will give gifts. In fact, they thought that their gifts will help you, I mean, would inspire you to give you, to give them the time of day. And so they brought gifts, you know. I mean, they brought vessels of silver, vessels of gold, garments, armor, spices, kings, other kings from other places. Because they say, wow. Because Solomon had peace. He didn't have wars like David. And everybody say, how do you do it? They come from everywhere. They hear his wisdom, but it was really his counsel because he was giving them advice. You know, this is how you do it. And so forth. I mean, instead of having counselors of war around him, like, you know, David, he had counselors of peace. That's what he had around him. You know, and they say, everybody came and said, my goodness, how do you do it? And they sought for his counsel, and this counsel made him rich. I mean, they brought all kinds of gifts. They brought different things to him. I mean, he, you know, he became rich, you know, because they sought out his kingdom. Now, there's a promise for the church and the kingdom also. That God promises that the church will be the lighthouse, will be exalted above the hills. So, you know, at the end of the age, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 14 that you will be the light of the world. You'll be the salt of the earth, you know, from Matthew 5:13 and verse 14. He talked about us being the salt of the earth, and he talked about us being the light of the world. Well, salt of the earth is like, you know, somebody that gives good counsel. You know, Isaiah said, you know, let my words be like, you know, the pen of a ready writer that I may have to speak to somebody that is weary. You know, how do you know how to speak to somebody that is weary? It's counsel. Counsel is what made what Isaiah was praying for, you know, in the book of Isaiah 50 verse 4. And he was actually declaring it forth. He said, the Lord had given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. That's counsel. You know, somebody is confused. Somebody is weary. And you know how to speak a word to them that could be the son of encouragement. That's counsel. You know, counsel was with this man. Colossians chapter 4 verse 6. Says the same thing, you know, let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. That's counsel. You know, counsel is these things that are being spoken about in these verses. Now, in the book of Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 to 4, and Micah said exactly the same thing. But let's read the one in Isaiah chapter 2. You know, it talks about in the last days. This is a powerful prophecy. Hallelujah. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and above the hills. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. What are they looking for? A counsel. Counsel of the Lord. They are going to come and say, come ye, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, the house of the Lord, and so forth. Teach us his ways. That's counsel. You know, teach us, show us, give us instruction. You know, we will walk in his paths, you know, and so on. And so out of Zion shall go forth the law, the word of. This is a prophecy that is coming, that the children of God and the kingdom will be a lighthouse. Hallelujah. You'll be loaded with counsel. People will be seeking, you know, and so forth. The things that were called rejected before, you know, the people of God that were called rejected before, by the way, this same prophecy is repeated, just FYI, this same prophecy in Isaiah chapter 2 is also repeated in Micah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Exact same thing. The day shall come that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow into it, and so on. Isaiah chapter 2 and Micah chapter 4 say the same thing. But let's look at Isaiah chapter 62. And let's consider, you know, some things that the Lord said to concerning us, concerning Jerusalem, but also anytime God's talking about Zion, it's also us. Isaiah 62, verse 12, you know. And I preached a lesson some time back called, Hephzibah and Beulah. And it was taken out of this thing, you know, where the Lord said, look, you've been forsaken, you've been rejected before, but now you've been desolate, but now as a sons, you know, as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons be joined to you. And, you know, you will no longer be termed desolate, but you will be termed favored and chosen and sought out. You know, and he said, look, they shall call them the holy people. You can read all of Isaiah 62, but at the end of verse 12, it says, they shall call them the holy people. Shall call them the redeemed of the Lord, and they shall be called sought out. Sought out. You know, why are they going to seek you out? My goodness. You know, because of counsel, just like they sought out Solomon and all these things, they're going to, you'll be called sought out. It's a prophetic, you know, inspiration for the times that we're in. You know, but you must develop that spirit of counsel within you. All right. I think I went through all of that quickly. But there's a lot more. So let me cover there are four things that you need to do concerning counsel. Here are four things that you need to do concerning counsel. All right. Are you ready? Let me give it to you. Four things that you must do. Number one, you need to develop your advisory and problem solving skills through knowledge. You know, and that will, we cover knowledge already. And that will improve your ability in giving good counsel to yourself and to others. Now, Daniel developed his interpretation skills. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 16, when Daniel, you know, had to tell the king interpretation of something, he had to go and fast and pray. You know, that was Daniel chapter 2. But by the time we got to Daniel chapter 5, when there was a handwriting from the wall that wrote a language that nobody, it wasn't the language of the Chaldeans, it wasn't the language of, you know, Babylon, it wasn't the language of anything. It was an unknown language. You know, all the soothsayers, the magicians, the scientists, the, all of these people, none of them could read that language. They'd never seen it before. They didn't even understand it. You know, Daniel had developed his skills. And again, we talk about developing your skills. He had developed his skills. This time around, he didn't need to go and pray. The first time he had to go and pray. Of course, that was a more difficult situation. He had to not only, I mean, if the king had told him the dream, maybe he would have told the interpretation. The king said, I can't even remember the dream. Tell it to me. And the magician said, nobody asked anybody that. I said, well, if you don't do it, I'm going to kill all of you. So Daniel and his companions prayed. And the Lord gave him the dream. You know, so what started out as the dream of Nebuchadnezzar actually became the dream of Daniel. And he gave the interpretation. But he needed time to go and pray. But, you know, and he developed these skills. By the time he got to chapter 5, he wasn't needing time to pray. He was able to look at the handwriting which nobody understood. And he could say it right there and then. You know, and he gave it to them right now. He didn't ask for time to go and pray. I mean, he was troubled for a while because of the meaning of the thing. He didn't want to say it, you know, but he had to say it. But he learned it. So he had developed that ability. And he gave the man counsel of what to do. Of course, they didn't listen, you know. Now, number two, learn the skill of effective communication. This is needed if you're going to, you know, want to be able to communicate good advice. You have to be able to communicate, you know, good counsel. You know, good counsel. You have to be able to communicate it. If you can't communicate it, even if you have good advice, but you don't know how to give it, you might do more harm. You know, so we're taking this counsel in two different flavors. Counsel for yourself and counsel for others. Psalm 45 verse 1 says, my heart is indicting a good matter. You know, I speak of things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You know, his tongue knows how to communicate. You know, how do you communicate? You know, most people can write better than they can speak. You know, they can communicate. You know, so they, with writing. Well, I said, my tongue is a pen of a writer. You have to learn how, teach your how to speak words of counsel. You know, words that are encouraging, words that heal, not words that bruise. You know, words that heal, not words that bruise. This is so important. You must learn that act. And communication is very important. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 2, he said, you know, my doctrine shall drop as the dew and so on. You know, he developed how to give counsel, you know, and so forth. That's very important. Now, we already talked about Colossians 4 and verse 6, how to give, you know, let your thing be seasoned with salt. You have to develop that so you can be a great communicator. Now, in the story of Nathan, when he had to go and confront David concerning the matter of Bathsheba and Uriah, you know, Nathan had to use communication skills. You can read that story in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 to 12. But he didn't know how to come out and tell David the thing point blank. So he turned it into a story. It was a storytelling thing. And by the time he finished the story, David was furious and said, who is the man that did this kind of thing? Because Nathan learned, I mean, he knew how to communicate. You know, he communicated that through that story. And by the time he finished, all he had to say was, you are the man. And by that time already, you know, David had already passed judgment with his own mouth. That he, the man that did this thing, he's finished. You know, so, well, Nathan said, well, you are the man. You know, at that time, you know, he had already effectively communicated, you know, the thing that he wanted to communicate. He, you know, that's a skill. Number three, surround yourself with people that know how to give good advice. Now, this is the secret to success in many areas in your life. Now, David surrounded himself with great counselors like Ahithophel initially before Ahithophel turned against him. 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 23. You know, surrounded yourself. He surrounded himself with great counselors. Without counselors around you, there will be failures. There may be disappointments. But when you have great counselors, your plans and purposes will be established. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22. You know, what does it say? Well, we've read this, and let's read it again. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. So all those plans that you have, all those resolutions at the beginning of the year and so forth, if you don't have great counsel, nothing will happen. Next year, you'll be making the same resolutions. Yeah, the next year, you'll be still be making the same resolutions. Nothing will happen. You know, so you need great counsel to guide you into seeing the fulfillment of these things. You know, now, every counsel is established. Sorry, every purpose is established by counsel. Proverbs 20 and verse 18. Now, there are some things you've mapped out for yourself for 2023 when you heard the inspiration of the Lord that you will emerge, but you need counsel and you need godly counsel, or those plans might be aborted, unfortunately. You know, so that counsel first, people, there may be people around you that give you good counsel, like you're hearing from this lesson today, but counsel from within you yourself. You know, you need to seek counsel from the Lord to give you guidance. Now, so number four thing is you have to pray for that spirit of counsel so that you will be able to exercise yourself in good counsel concerning your affairs, your own affairs, and that you may become a positive encourager yourself. You know, someone whose speech is always seasoned with grace, according to Colossians 4 and 26. But here's something also in Proverbs 27 and verse 9 about, you know, what good counsel, how refreshing it can be, you know. So that's what it says. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. This is Proverbs 27 and verse 9. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. You know, so this is something that when you know how to give it out, it's like pouring water on a dry and thirsty land. You know, people say, oh, I sight for sore eyes. You know, well, you know, there's something that is sore heart. You know, good counsel brings sweetness to a sore heart. You know, so if you can bring good counsel to, you know, use like perfume and ointment, you know, sweetness, you know, that you bring if you can know how to give good counsel. All right. Well, the time is fast spent. Let me see if I can wrap this up. I don't want to spend more than one day on each of these pillars. Quickly, let me go through some of the benefits of counsel. Now, number one, Proverbs 19 and 21. The counsel of the Lord that shall stand. So the counsel of the Lord will always stand. When you have great counsel from the Lord, it will always stand, no matter what. Number two, multitude of counselors will give you protection and safety. Proverbs 11 and verse 14. At the national level, actually, you know, if there is no good counsel, the nation will collapse. It's happening to some African nations that I know of, even the one where I come from. Lack of good counsel causes national collapse. You know, now Proverbs 11 and 14 gives us an antidote for that. Now, good counsel will cause you to be wise. You'll find that in Proverbs 12 verse 15 and Proverbs 19 verse 20. Good counsel will cause your plans to succeed. You'll find that in Proverbs 15 and verse 22. I'm just a summary of all the things we've talked about. You know, good counsel will give you victory in your battles. You know, this doesn't mean you are carrying spear and gun and so forth. But whatever battles of life that you are facing, good counsel will give you victories. That's Proverbs 24 verse 6. You know, it will also give you help in picking your battles. You know, there are some things you need to fight for, other things you need to let go. You know, you don't have to expend spiritual capital on everything. Some people don't know, they fight over everything. Some things not worth fighting for, just let go. Other things, yes, you know, but some things, no. You know, Good counsel will give you the ability to discern between one or the other. That's Proverbs 20 and verse 18. I'm going through this very, very quickly because I need to finish, wrap this up. Now, we've already talked about if you can have a trusted friend that can give you good advice, it's like it will refresh into the soul. That's Proverbs 27 verse 9. And finally, you know, great counsel, if you know how to do it, it'll promote you. We saw that in 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. It promoted Solomon. People brought him gifts. They seek him from everywhere. You know, they become sought out. They'll be looking for him. You know, people are doing that in the world today. We call them, you know, consultants. You know, people are counselors. They're looking for them. You know, and the great counsel will take you to greater heights, just like we see in the story of Joseph in chapter Genesis 41 that we read, how the counsel promoted him eventually. Now here's the prayer we're going to pray. Lord, give me this pillar of wisdom that is called counsel in my life. Endow me with the spirit of counsel and might, so that I can truly be like a city that is set on a hill and sought out. Well, we see that in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 3, Jesus was endowed with this spirit of counsel and might. And so we need to be endowed with the same. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson at the end there. I had to rush through it because I didn't want to go beyond a day. But you can see how deep this counsel thing is. And don't think of counsel from today. Don't think of counsel only as advice you give to someone else. Think of counsel within your own heart for your own life itself. And if you have understanding, you can draw out those deep wells of counsel, of counsel that the Lord has put inside your heart. So we're going to pray. We're going to take time. I'm going to pray over the room. I want you to join me in praying for yourself. Most people that don't have the right amount of counsel, those are the people we call foolish. And somebody is foolish because they don't have counsel. They don't know how to make right decisions and make the right choices. Life is full of choices. Counsel is what gives you the ability to make the right choices. And everything is a choice. You know, people say, I don't have a choice. No, you always have a choice. You made a choice to not choose the right thing, or to do the wrong thing, or to do the right thing. It's always a choice. It's always a choice. And in fact, you know, choices in life are not always binary. You know, yes or no, black or white. Sometimes there are more choices than that. But there is always a choice. It's not always zeros and ones, you know. But there's always a choice. But the counsel will help you make the right choice. You look at all the facts. When we get to sound judgment, you will learn more about that. You'll be grounded in facts. You look at all the facts. Counsel will pull out all of that information and make the right choice and give you the right advice for yourself. You can speak to yourself and analyze things and make decisions. You know, don't just, you know, act before you think. No. Think deeply before you even act. That's counsel. The ability to do that is counsel. You know, many people act on the spur of the moment and then regret later. That's lack of counsel. You know, when you have real counsel, you take your time. You know, you be slow to speak, swift to hear. You hear all the information first, digest it, think about it, even pray about it. That's counsel before you do anything. And when you rush to making decisions, even when you are facing situations that may seem urgent, take a moment to pray. Take a moment to think and commit into the hands of the Lord. You know, don't just rush to making any decision or any action, which you may later regret. Some actions are hard to take back and hard to walk it back if you already did it. So take your time. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this lesson of wisdom and counsel. Counsel as a pillar of wisdom. Lord, I pray that you give me and my brothers and sisters the spirit of counsel and might, just like Jesus. Endow us with this understanding. You know, we've seen great examples in the Bible, Lord. We've seen Jethro, how he gave counsel to Moses. We've seen Daniel exercising great counsel. We've seen Joseph, how counsel promoted him over the entire land. You know, the ability to give great counsel. We pray, Lord, that we will be endowed with this spirit of counsel, which will bring us might, greatness, promotion, while others are being let go and others are being, you know, dropped off and then put out and so forth, cut off. We will be rising. While others are saying there's a let down, the Bible says you'll be saying there's a lifting up, because you have the spirit of counsel, that you may become invaluable even in business, invaluable even in corporate America, where if you happen to be there, counsel even in establishing your own business. Some people say, I'm an entrepreneur. Well, if you don't have counsel, you will just making a lot of errors, you know. And so we pray for counsel. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep wells, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Help us, O Lord, to draw out by understanding these deep wells of counsel, which are placed in our heart, you know, but by practicing the presence of the Lord and practicing the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, the knowledge of the Holy, we might improve on our ability to understand counsel for ourselves and to give good counsel. Help us also, Lord, to develop the ability to communicate. Counsel will teach you how to do that too. Communication in marriage, in relationships, so critical. The lack thereof leading to all kinds of ugly conflict. So, Father, teach us these things. We give you praise and glory. Establish counsel in our hearts, that we might also be called sought out. Become that hill, you know, I mean, that city upon a hill that cannot be hid. You know, that become that lighthouse that will be sought out. But more importantly, that, you know, it will give light to our own ways. Light to our own ways, so that we not stumble around, we not make decisions that will bring regret. We have counsel, and we have sound judgment. Give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.